Father God, we just come to you this morning, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that we're here in church this morning, Father, to listen to your word. And I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, for protection over Gene, Father God.
Yes, sir.
That the word you've given him today will be spoken, Father God, and you will receive glory and honor from it.
Yes, sir.
And Father, may we seek reflection, Father God, and use the word, not just for ourselves, Father, but to be that witness, Father, for those that need to hear the word. And Father, we do lift up those that are sick, Father God, they're not able to attend.
Amen.
And Father, with all my heart, Father God, I pray you will touch them. Restore them, Father God.
Yes.
Relieve them of their pain, Father God. Father, heal them where healing is necessary. And I just pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you receive all glory and honor, Father God. It's all about you, Jesus, and not about us.
Amen.
For those, Father God, that can't attend today, and those are here, Father God. Those that have emotional distress, Father God, in their life, may they turn it over to you, Father.
Yes.
Father, I can say personally that you have never left my side, even when I do something stupid like cut my thumb yesterday, Father God. What a quick reminder that getting upset and frustrated and mad and then reacting doesn't help anything, Father God. And that's what's happening in this world. It's all about reactions. It's all about clickbait. It's all about getting their face in front of the camera, Father God, or being that one to show out. Father, what we need to show is a Christ-like life, Father, and that's
Amen.
What I pray for today. Father, bless this service. Bless those that are in need. Father God, I pray for the prayer box, Father God. People put prayers in there, Father God, because they have faith. And I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, if you have said, you will honor that faith, and you will answer that prayer, Father God. And Father, our prayers sometimes are so selfish that we want it now, and we want it just for me. But, Father, we want your will to be done in our lives. Mm. Father, I pray for the president of this United States.
Yes.
Father, I pray for that war in Iran. Father, I pray a hedge protection of every serviceman,
Amen.
Father God, that's flying over, under, or may go to ground, Father
yes.
God. May you protect them, Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And may they be the witnesses for those in Iran, Father God, that have been so blinded, mm-hmm. Father God, by what the way they brought up that Jesus Christ himself will appear before them, Father God, through
yes.
those service members. And, Father God, that country, that whole Arab nation, Father God, will see you as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, Father God,
yes.
and as the Savior of all humans, Father God. I pray the word of Jesus Christ will penetrate those nations, Father God. And I pray for this nation, Father God. Father God, we need revival in this nation so that we can be the nation
yes, Lord.
That is Christ-like, living Christ-like lives, and be the witnesses for the world, Father God.
Yes.
And not for us, Father God, but for you to receive glory and honor, Father God. So bless this nation, Father God. Bless this congregation. May we be that seed of revival, Father God. May we invite people here, Father, that needs a touch from you. Father, we're not seeking membership. We're not seeking money. We're seeking to bless you, Father God, and honor you in everything we do. And it's your holy and precious name I pray these things, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Quinn. As Quinn was praying, he mentioned something about living a Christ-like life. Well, you can't do that unless the old man is dead.
Hello.
Okay. So the title of today's lesson is, as Gary's saying, the old man is dead. Romans 6:6. Tells us this, said, knowing this, that our old man, that old man is crucified with him. Him being Jesus Christ. Romans 6:6. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So, unless that old man has been crucified with Christ, you're living a life of sin.
Amen.
Okay? And so this body of sin has to be destroyed. And the only way to destroy this body of sin is through the crucified Jesus Christ coming into your heart as Lord and Savior.
Yes, sir.
The old man's got to die. And as we get into this, you're going to find out why. Look at Ephesians 4:22. And I got a few scriptures here, but we'll turn to them individually because I think that you need to see the scriptures, read the scriptures, and hear it.
Amen.
The more you hear, the more you see and read yourself, the more faith comes. This is my old Bible. It's been dropped in the mud and all that stuff in the Philippines, and pages sort of stick together where the mud had slapped it a couple of times. Ephesians 4:22 tells us this, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. And you say, well, this old man, what is that old man? It's the old sin nature. Okay, the old man. It's what you used to do.
Amen.
It's what they used to go and try to paint the town red, as Gary sang. But if the old man is dead, you don't do those things no more.
No.
You don't do them anymore. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Don't lie to one another like you used to do. You say, well, I've never lied to anybody. Well, throughout your life, you haven't lied to anybody. You haven't taken something that didn't belong to you. You haven't left business with their ink pens, this kind of stuff. But, you know, put off the old man and with his deeds. That old man carried some deeds with him.
Yes.
And some deeds that you as a child of God don't need to be carrying around. And that's why the old man has to die. And he said, put on the new man. The old man's got to die, but the new man. How do you become the new man? It's nothing you can do of in and of yourself. It's got to be through the regeneration of the Spirit, your Spirit, which God puts His Holy Spirit in you. And that gives you the power through Jesus Christ to live this life that God has said to live. Where the old man, those old things, and we're going to cover some of them. What are these old men, these old things in our life? And we'll get to that. Look at Colossians, same chapter there, verses 3 through 8. He said, verse 3 in Colossians chapter 3, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When we hear that we're dead, we don't like to hear that, do we?
No.
Dead. What do you mean dead? Well, not that you're dead in a physical body. But it's like Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. But nevertheless, I live. You know, I'm living in this body. And this body which in I live by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ who saved me. And what did Christ save us from? That old man. That old sinful nature. We've put on a new man. The new nature. The nature of God. Before we had a sinful nature. And you didn't do nothing to get it.
No, sir.
It came to you through the natural childbirth procedure because it was passed on even back from Adam's time through every generation up until the time you were born. So you didn't have anything to do with that sin nature. But you have everything to do with dying or killing that sin nature.
Amen.
And that is true. The acceptance of Christ, and then again, you don't have to do nothing.
Amen.
It's all done at Calvary and paid for before we were ever born. God knew that you would become born again. And it's what do after we become born again? Do we allow the old man to still operate in our life? God forbid. No. We need to be to the point to where this old man is dying daily. And you got to kill him daily.
Amen.
You know that as well as I know that. If not, the next thing you know, you're going to be living and walking and talking like the old man that you used to be. So you got to put those things away. Let's go on. Verse 4. So when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall also appear with Him in glory. How is that possible? Through what He did on the cross. When you accept Christ in your life as your personal Lord and Savior, your life is changed.
Amen.
Whether you recognize it or not, and whether you do anything about it or not, your life has changed because you have received the Spirit of the Most High God. And you have been made the righteousness through Jesus Christ. Nothing in and of ourselves. So Christ is saying, when Christ, who is our life, Christ living in you, when He shall appear, then we shall also appear with Him in glory. Won't that be a glorious thing?
Amen.
All because you said, hey, I, Gary Mann, believe in you, Lord Jesus Christ. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I don't want to do those things I used to do. And Gary don't. Neither does any of us in here. Hopefully. Not saying we may fall back in sin, because
right.
If we say we have no sin, we make ourselves out of a liar, into a liar. Because everybody has sinned and came short of the glory of God. But because of what Christ did on the Calvary, we can go to Him and say, Lord Jesus, I got a problem here. You know it, and I know it. And I ask for your help. And please forgive me, because I just failed you again. Anybody have to say I failed you again this week?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I did. I'm glad the rest of you are more holier than I am. So, the old things, they got to pass away. Verse 5, mortify. What does that word mean, mortify? I'm working out of King James, okay? That means put to death. Put to death, therefore, your members. What's our members? Is that you and me?
No.
No. Our members is these hands, these ears, these eyes, these legs, these arms, this brain, the mind, the sexual organs, all of that. That's your members.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, and your tongue. A biggie. Thanks, Allison. These members will get you in trouble.
Yes, sir.
If you don't mortify them, and mortify means put to death.
Come on.
In other words, you got to get to the point and the place that whatever temptation it is that's in your life no longer has an effect on you. And it's not easy. It don't happen overnight.
No.
And you have to ask Christ, Lord Jesus, I got a problem here. Please help me. Please help me. And it's when you activate your will not to do that, then you start seeing things happen. But until you do that, it's always going to be there. It's always going to be there. Until you stand up and say, Lord, forgive me. I repent of this. And the Lord says, well, if you've repented of it, why are you still doing it? See, repentance means I recognize I got this problem. And repentance is I'm going to turn my back on it and I'm not going to go there no more.
Amen.
And then that's repentance. The other is confession. I've confessed it. Well, that's all fine and dandy. But that don't fix the problem.
Amen.
The problem is you got to fight, dig in, and say, with all of my might, I'm not going to give in to that no more. And you go on for days and days and days. Say, thank you, Lord. And wham, there it is again. And you failed. So what do? I'm sorry, Lord. I made it this far, but it ain't far enough. Help me all the way. In other words, meaning that I don't give in to that no more.
Amen.
But it's going to be with you all your life. It's going to be a battle, so get used to that. So mortify them. So this old man said, mortify therefore your members, and we describe what those were, which are upon the earth. In other words, you're walking here on the earth and you're exercising all of these senses and this emotions through your members. And he said, fornication. What in the world is fornication? That's immorality in every form. Fornication. He said, don't do it. The old man, fornication, you're going to die.
Amen.
You got to die. Don't want you around me no more. Then the old man, uncleanness, you got to die. I don't want any uncleanness in my life. And old man, you got it. And I don't want you to hear. You got to die. Inordinate affections, that's depraved passions for something that you know is wrong. Old man, you're going to die. You depraved passions, I don't want you. Die. Evil conspicuences, that is just thinking evil, thinking things that are not holy, not godly. Oh man, you got to die. The old man's got to die. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Coveting something, greed. You greedy man, you're going to die. Old man, greed, you're going to die. Verse 6, for sting saith the wrath of God come upon these children of disobedience. And when you're operating in the realm of the old man, you are operating in disobedience. Because the old man will allow things in your life that should not be, that you know shouldn't be there. Verse 7, in the which you also walked some time. And when you lived in them. So you can think, did I not walk in those things at one time? Some of those things. Some of the things of the old man, of the old past. I walked in them. I did those things. I was living in them things. I was living a lifestyle as unholy before God. But verse 8, but now you also put off all of these. Put off these things, child of God. These old men have to die if they're in your life. Okay? The old man, anger, wrath, malice. That's naughtiness and wickedness and blasphemy against the word of God. Filthy communications out of your mouth. Outburst of anger. Outburst of anger because I hit my thumb. Right? I remember one time I was putting the roof on my house. Had some guys help me. And boy, I was putting the nails there and I hit it. Boy, I hit that thing sideways and blood just squirting out like that. And I said, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because I didn't want to go to the other side. I had to keep the old man dead, okay? Because he could have popped out real quick. But that's where you have to exercise control of your will. I can pick on him because we know we're like brothers. We've hit all of these things and we've failed them all from time to time. Lie not to one another. The old man is a liar, okay? See that you have put off the old man and his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, which is Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Most of you know what that says. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, are you in Christ?
Yes.
Okay. Then God says that he is a new creature. You're a new creature, a new creation. Why? Because old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So, for the child of God, these old things should be passing away. Not saying that you won't fail and falter, but there should be a desire deep within your spirit saying, I don't want to do that no more. This has got to go. It's got to pass away. And we can look, if you're honest with yourself, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, look and say, when I got saved, all of this stuff was still in my life, and I don't understand. Why is those desires and those wants there? Well, Satan knows that you're now a child of God, and he can't affect you for your salvation. He's lost you as a child because of the salvation Christ has made in your life. But if Satan says, but if I can get old Freddie to start thinking these thoughts, if I can get Mike to start getting angry, that's how he works. And then he will engineer circumstances like hitting your finger with the nail or whatever to make you react. Hoping to get you to call the old, dig the old man up from the grave, you know, and let him resurface. Because you may have put him to death, and you say, praise God, I don't have to worry about him no more. And then one day you find yourself digging out there like a dog scratching. What are you doing? Well, I got to think about this old man. I may have buried him a little bit too soon. I'm going to dig him up. realistically, you know, that doesn't happen, but in the unseen realm, it does. That's when you go back to those things that you've been delivered from, and you know it, and you say, well, maybe just this one time. And that's all it takes. The old man is back. So you got to keep him crucified, okay?
Amen.
Keep him crucified. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting with verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Verse 9 says this, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Let's stop there. There shouldn't be any doubt in your mind of your status.
Amen.
Are you righteous or are you not? Because it says that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Are you a righteous person?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How do you know that?
Been born again.
Born again. It's Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That made you the righteous. No matter what you're doing today or anything, you've been made the righteous because you believed and you confessed. But those that did not or had not or have rejected, they will never see the kingdom of God unless they receive the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay, but you have to understand, I am the righteousness. No matter what you may be doing or how bad you may be feeling about yourself, if you've received Christ, you are the righteous of God.
Glory.
And if He comes tomorrow, you're going with Him.
Amen.
But you will answer for what it is you're doing, okay? But, 'cause He will judge it. But you will be saved as of by fire. Your soul is going to be with eternity with God. So that's what it means to be righteous. It's great, isn't it? Well, let's go on here. In the middle of the verse 9, it says, "Be not deceived, neither the old man the fornicator, nor the old man the idolater, nor the old man the adulterer." Now, I'm inserting old man there, okay? Bringing forth the point. "Nor the old man the effeminate." What is the effeminate? Those who are trying to be something that God didn't create, isn't it?
That's right.
"Nor abusers of themselves with mankind." What is that? Greek word is arsenikotes, meaning sodomite, meaning the homosexual, the gays, and the lesbians. Now, they don't want to hear this. These aren't my words, folks. This is from God's word. Let's get this. "Neither thieves." Were you once a thief?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. "Neither covetousness," or the old man, "a drunkard, revilers, or extortioners." None of these are going to inherit the kingdom of God. And look at verse 11. "And such were some of you." Boy, that puts me right there. Because I was some of that. And it says, "Such were some of you." But, that big word there, "but you are sanctified." So what's this sanctification all about? Well, once you get saved, born again, you start realizing, you know, it's not right for me to hold on to this sin that I know is the sin. So you make a decision in your life, I ain't going to do that no more. And it goes away. It may have been smoking, may have been bad habits, and who knows, may have been pornography. You put your label on it, okay? We all have our vices. And so, you know, but that's gone now. So praise God. That's the sanctification process. You start down here as a newborn baby, and you're hopefully rising up to what is it, maturity? Huios? Is that the name for it? But anyway, you should be going along this path to where you're becoming more and more sanctified. In other words, there's less of this stuff in your life to affect you.
Amen.
And you let it, like water rolling off the duck's back anymore. It doesn't affect you because you have repented. You have let it go. And the old man is put to death. Died. The old man is dead in that area. But you've been sanctified. You're justified. Justified. Christ went to the cross for you. And now you're justified because of it. It's just as if I had gone to the cross. But Jesus Christ did it for us, for you, for me. So now we are justified in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Spirit of our God. We've been made justified. And we've been made righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it, folks.
Yes.
That's it. All in Jesus Christ. And some people make it so hard. Look at verse 1 Corinthians 6:15. Know you not that you are the members of Christ? Your bodies are the members of Christ. Shall I then take the member of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. In other words, if you went to bed with a harlot, or a woman, if you went to bed with the male prostitute, guess what? When you're joined together like that, the two fleshes become one. And verse 16 said, what? Know ye not that that which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall become one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So it goes on to say, flee this old man fornication. Because every other sin that is without the body, okay, like you're cursing, you're stealing, all of that outside the body. He said, but this one sin here, look at that. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Look at Proverbs, and we'll come back here. Proverbs 6:32 for a minute. Proverbs 6:32 says, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman, and you could reverse that, a man with a woman or a woman with a man, it doesn't matter, it's all adultery. He said, he lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroys his own soul. Not the body, the soul. Proverbs 6:17-19. 16 says, these six things the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination to him. Proud look. That old man, the proud look, proud looking man, he's got to die. A lying tongue, Allison, the tongue, that old man's got to die. I say that because she was pointing at her tongue when I was going through the list. Yeah, thank you. Hands that shed innocent blood. What about all of those who've had abortions and they agreed and consented to it? And what about all of those who gave the abortions?
Hello.
Shedding innocent blood. What's God say about that? I hate it. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. You know, sitting there stewing, boy, if I get the chance, I'm going to do him right. Something evilly wicked in your imaginations. Feet that are swift to run into mischief. We say that in the streets of America, all over America, don't we?
Yes, sir.
False witnesses. Those who lie and tell lies and spread lies. Speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord. This is the one that God... The seventh is an abomination to him. Sowing discord amongst the brothers. Oh, did you know, he drinks wine. Or did you know, I seen his truck parked out there by that whore's house, you know. Sowing discord amongst the brethren. Saying things just to stir up the pot. The old man's got to die, folks. Romans 6. We're about to wrap up. Romans 6. Aren't you glad? Romans chapter 6 and verses 11 through 13. Verse 11 of Romans chapter 6. Likewise, reckon. That word reckon, I remember when I was growing up in Kentucky, there was a saying, well, I reckon them people are going to come by today, or I reckon wonder what I'll do today. That's just a word that said, count it, count yourself, okay? In other words, reckon yourself, in other words, count yourself dead. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield or will your members as instruments of unrighteousness. And we identified what those instruments were, didn't we?
Yes, sir.
The members, the instruments. That's the ears, the eyes, the lips, the tongue, the hands, the feet, the organs, the mind, that kind of thing. So neither yield these, your members, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. In other words, don't use those to sin with.
Amen.
But rather, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. In other words, he's saying, don't use those things to sin. Use those things for the righteous in the community of God,
yes,
the kingdom of God. What? These, the eyes, the tongues, everything. Everything that God has given you, made you, use it for the kingdom, not for sin. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, child of God. But you are not under the law, but you're under grace. We're not under the old Mosaic law. We're under the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and what, based on what he did at Calvary. And he says, what then shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under the grace? God forbid. He said, no, that you have the grace of God and don't use it as a tool of sin. He said, no, no, no. But thank God, you're not under the law, but you're under the grace. And live holy unto the Lord. Don't use these members to sin. Because it's the members that you have, that God has given you, that you use to sin with. And he said, don't do it. Don't do it. Verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. In other words, he's saying, look, God has delivered you from this stuff. The old man is dead. But if you choose to live or bring the old man back and live with him, then you're a servant of the devil. Doesn't mean that you won't go to heaven. But it means that you've decided to serve the devil instead.
Hello.
And what it means is, God has delivered you from this, and you have chosen as an act of your will to go in camp over here with the enemy. Living in the enemy's camp. So, you have to make a decision, because if you're going to do that, then you're serving the enemy of the kingdom of God. And God said, don't do that. Look at that. He said, know ye not that whom you yield yourselves servants to? In other words, if I use these hands to do evil with, if I use my tongue to do evil with, if I do my sexual organs to do evil with, then who am I serving?
Satan.
You're working for him.
Yep.
So he's saying, don't do that. If you do, then you're going to be his servant. But he is saying here, you will obey whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And we know that God will let you sin. That ain't a problem. He will let you do what you will to do. But doesn't mean that your life may be cut short on this earth because of the sins. Because of your unwillingness to get things right. Because of your disobedience, known disobedience, to God's word. And he may say, okay, Slick, time to come home. Tired of you sinning and tired of you just playing around, hoping and wishing on luck. No, it's time to come home. So he's saying, verse 17, but God be thanked, okay? God be thanked that you were servants of sin. Was you a servant of sin?
Yes, sir.
But have you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which has delivered you?
Yes, sir.
What is that doctrine? The doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to Calvary. He died on the cross for mankind's sin. And that includes me and you. And it's up to you. Am I going to accept Him? Accept that? Bring it into my heart and believe that He is Lord and Savior? If you have, then you have obeyed from the heart that form of the doctrine that was delivered to you. Being, verse 18, made free from sin. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that sets you free from sin.
Amen.
It's you yourself that puts you back into bondage. Okay? There's no easier way to say it. It's our own self that causes all of these problems in life as a result of our own sins.
Yes, sir.
Woohoo! Okay. We've been, 18, being then made free from sin. We are set free from sin, folks. You have to understand that. Activate that. And you've become servants of righteousness. And he goes on to say, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members to servants unto holiness. In other words, he's telling them here, this Romans, you know, you have yielded yourself unto unrighteousness, your members. He said, but now yield them unto righteousness. He said, put it away. Don't do that no more. Verse 24, when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. In other words, righteousness was nowhere around you. You freed from it. So, what did we do? Run like the devil straight for hell in our sins. Because righteousness was nowhere around us. What fruit have you then in those things thereof you are now ashamed of? For the end of those is death. In other words, he's saying, you used to run in all of this stuff. And he said, what kind of fruit is it now? What kind of fruit did you see coming from a life of sin? It was nothing that would help you out in life. It only caused harm and shame and disgrace. And he's saying the things that you were once ashamed of, now, you know, you've been delivered from. He said, what fruit had you then in them, those things that were you're now ashamed? Or in other words, you're ashamed that you used to do that stuff. I am.
Amen.
I look back on my life and said, how in the world? Thank you, Lord, that you delivered me from all of this. You know, and so the end of those things is death. If I'd stayed there in all of that, then there would have been a death. If I'd never come to Christ and He cleaned me up, then it would have been eternal death.
Yep.
But now, verse 22, being made free from sin, folks, and become the servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end is everlasting life.
Amen.
Good news. For the wages of sin is death, isn't it?
Yep.
Look over in verse 323 for a minute. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in verse 623 says, but the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I ask you, have you given your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes or no? It's that simple. If you have it, today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
In other words, today is the day you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. Believe God that He did go on that cross and He died. His blood was shed for our sins.
Amen.
And if you will say, yes, Lord, I believe. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. And if you mean it from the heart and you say that and you're serious with God, He will come into your life through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit operate in your life and you can get over those things and you don't have to worry about dying and going to hell.
Amen.
Dave, close this up.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You, praise You for this message that we received today. Father, I ask You to Help us to apply it to our life.
Yes.
And to our hearts, Lord. I'm asking you to just be with each and every person here today, Father God. Let them examine themselves to really know that they are saved and that they put the old man to death.
Amen.
So, Father, as we leave this place, we give you all the glory and the honor that you so rightly deserve. And we praise you for this day, Father God, and for the life that you have given us. And I thank you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.